And so we're going to start off the next kind of major segment of our show this month with an interview with our compa Verbena from Redwood Curtain Copwatch. And before we start, I just wanted to give you a little bit of context of this interview. So in early December of last year, we actually talked to Verbena on the phones in the studio, and she gave us an update to a case that's been going on since 2007. So on August 9, 2007, Martin Cotton II was murdered by Eureka Police in Eureka, California, which is a town about 270 miles north of San Francisco. He was murdered at a place called The Mission, and he was murdered by the Eureka Police, and then he was actually brutalized by the Eureka Police, and then actually died in the Humboldt County Jail by the sheriff. So just to kind of narrate a little bit of what happened that day on August 9th. So Martin Cotton was hanging out at the Mission House, and the manager, Brian Hall, whose name is important to mention because of his kind of entanglement with this whole thing, calls the Eureka City Police Department. 8 Eureka police officers arrive at the scene and beat Martin Cotton in front of about 40 people for 20 minutes with continued pepper spraying. Brutalized, the police took Martin to jail rather than the hospital. Once in the jail guard continued to brutalize Martin and left him to die in the cell. A bit of time later, that's specifically where he died. Immediately after, police started sending fictional facts to the media to cover up the killing and the state and blame it on actually Martin, saying that Martin killed himself. Martin Cotton II was surpassed by his 2-year-old daughter at the time and his father, Marty Cotton. After 5 years of work to get to put on stand the police and sheriff and create a civil case, a civil case was scheduled for early January of this year. Redwood Curtain Copwatch supported the trial and the family to expose what police were involved in or how police were involved in the killing. And since the killing, police officers involved have yet to been reprimanded. So we have in the air Verbena. Verbena, are you there with us?
Hi, yes, hello.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. And Verbena, if you want to fill in anything that I may have misrepresented or didn't actually state, that would be wonderful about the history of Martin Cotton II.
Yeah, well, I think that you told the story's hard one to tell because, you know, just the brutality of somebody being beat continuously, unarmed person, you know, is really a hard thing to talk about, even though people are being beat on the street all the time. And that's one of the reasons that and people who don't live on the street by the police, one of the reasons that we are trying to bring people's attention to this trial. We don't have any illusions about the system punishing itself or finding itself liable or guilty, but we do think that it's one of those opportunities to try for that and also keep people growing in their strength and numbers against, you know, state violence. So I think with Martin Cotton, whose birthday was yesterday, I think you told what happened pretty accurately. The cops, I guess one of the things that people should know, you know, I said he was unarmed, and it was essentially kind of like this big beating frenzy. That's what someone called it yesterday, you know, just the cops. And that's important because to try and understand this, like, this aggression that has little or nothing to do oftentimes with what the person has done, the victim, the person who the police have come to or brutalizing or murdering. It often has little to do with what they're doing, and it seems like it has a lot to do with sort of an aggressive culture and even adrenaline, you know. And so that's what people described to us, because one of the things that Rebel Curtain Copwatch did was went and talked with witnesses who were never spoken with by the district attorney or any other kind of investigators or anything like that, except for maybe 2 of them out of 40 people. So the Humboldt County Sheriffs run the jail here, and so I'm glad that you mentioned them also, because you know, the Eureka Police Department, like you said, pepper sprayed him, batoned him. I learned more recently that they after they had him handcuffed and everything, they put nunchucks around his limbs just to cause pain. And they threw him in the cop car with his head covered and brought him to the jail, where the jail did nothing for him medically and just continued to beat on him, like you said, and just left him. And so, you know, of course, there's always a lot of, and you mentioned this too, you know, the media parrots whatever the police press release says, essentially, and their press release, like murders by the police in the Bay Area and all over the country, they start off by saying they felt threatened, or, you know, pretty much that's their first line, and then they start making up stories, and they can change by the hour, like we've seen with Kenneth Harding, with, you know, lots of victims of police murder. And so they were doing that with Martin. In fact, sometimes I can't even remember some of their lines. They said he, you know, first tried to criminalize him as being on drugs, because apparently that would, in their mind, justify killing someone. And then they said he overdosed on LSD. He banged his own head to death. He died from a lung problem, and then it was a, you know, it just kept changing like that. And but the trial's finally coming. It's been 4 years, a little over 4 years. We have named August 9th as Cotton Day in this area. We're in Humboldt County, is the way most people would know this area. And we say Martin Cotton won't be forgotten. August 9th is Cotton Day, and we've tried to, you know, when he was first murdered, we were in the streets, and we were creating literature for witnesses and trying to talk with people and get the word out, handed out lots of information. Since then, you know, working, supporting the family, and trying to bring this to some kind of judicial situation. So as part of the strategy, again, that's not an end all anything, but so now 4 years later, there's this trial that was postponed since January, and it's starting next week.
Okay.
September 12th in Oakland, because when federal cases are typically in Oakland or San Francisco, even though the thing happened up here.
So originally it was, so last time we talked to you, you said it was originally scheduled for January of this year. And then was it because of pressure, or what was the case that they actually postponed it to September 9th, is it, or September 13th?
Well, my sense from what I was told and looking at the filings and stuff is, you know, there's the courts are, even with, and especially with civil rights cases, are always trying to settle everything. You know, it's a good thing for people to know the courts, especially in criminal court, which this isn't, but the courts are always full, and so they're always trying to get rid of cases, and that's a really good thing to know if you've been arrested and you're dealing with the court, is that they have real limited resources. But what I think happened with the Martin Cotton trial is that the judge was trying to push for settlement or something to happen like that, and so they actually allowed the cops' lawyers recently to file something, even though they were way past the deadline, to file something to try and get rid of the case. So, you know, it's hard to say, but it seemed like at that time they said, well, we have this other trial going on, you all should, you know, try and work this out instead of bringing it to a jury or to the public. So,
okay. And so in our past interview, you mentioned three different strategies of Redwood Curtain Cop Watch, and this and why you're taking up the case and how you're actually trying to bring justice to the Cotton family. So the first you stated in our last interview was that you took up this case as one to hold the cops accountable who were actually involved in the killing, because you stated that that the names or the people have yet been released. So in that sense, there hasn't been any, the cops haven't been held accountable, that there hasn't been any fines or demotions, and they're actually still on the beat. possibly and available to do the same thing again. And then that being the second strategy. And then also you stated, and I think that's what you've been doing for the past 4 years, is really connecting with various Bay Area organizations that are fighting against police brutality, such as the case with Raheem Brown, which is coming up, or Oscar Grant, or Derek Jones, and the list goes on and on here. Is that somewhat similar to the strategy? Are you guys still kind of on those three fronts, or how are you all thinking about engaging with the trial and in some ways beyond the trial?
Well, we are, I guess I'll go backwards, we are, you know, organizing with the Oscar Grant Committee and different groups in the Bay Area, and also kind of getting the word out to other communities throughout the country. So I guess having public, having the cops' names and being, you know, in front of the public, and also being able to speak about the various issues that are so poignant from this situation, you know, from this murder, you know, the aggression of the police, the murder by a state of unarmed, defenseless people, you know, people who are vulnerable and don't have a lot of resources or backing, in particular in this situation, you know, is all these people who are, many of them living in the Mission, already traumatized by war, veterans, and by the streets. And so, you know, we want those things that come out when we talk about what happened with Martin to be in people's understanding, and so that people will act on that understanding in solidarity, defending people who are vulnerable, and also not believing the police, you know, not believing the story from the media that just parrots the police press release, and always asking and demanding, I guess, accountability or answers or firings or complete abolishment, if you ask me, but of the police, rather than always asking, well, what did he do? What did so-and-so do to deserve that? Or why did they, you know, all that kind of thing, which is really common, even with people who identify as kind of against police brutality and everything. It's a very strange phenomenon that we try to justify the really insane oppression. So anyway, I guess this trial and everything that leads up to it, talking about it, like this radio show and everything, is to shed light on these situations, emphasize them, move people to do whatever they can to, you know, keep police out of our lives, keep each other protected, knowing the truth, you know the truth and not question victims of state violence. And, I am hoping, or we're hoping that, that these officers feel something, and it's not so, I mean, it is individual, but also that the police as a culture, as a huge, you know, gang, for lack of a better word, violent gang, you know, that they get it, that they understand that there's going to be people opposing when they do these kinds of things, that somebody who they think who had Martin had mental health issues, as do many of us, you know, many people, that it's not okay, it's unacceptable to take advantage of that situation or brutalize someone just because of whatever vulnerability they might have. You know, in fact, it's worse. I mean, that's the old adage, you know, it's like pick on someone your own size, and they go after people who are already vulnerable in so many ways. And so so hoping to, you know, build with people more and more in the Bay Area and other places, but in particular because we'll be in Oakland and I'm going there on and off, you know, build with people and really have a strong people's opposition to state violence, to the police, to the prisons and the jail system, the mental health system, you know, and you mentioned the Eureka Rescue Mission, which is a crazy name for it, but it's a shelter here that is highly connected with the police and run by people who, in fact, Brian Hall, who you mentioned and said is a good name to know, runs the mission now. At the time, he was a manager, and he was on parole, and so he was also in a different way vulnerable, and so he just did whatever, that he said whatever the police wanted him to say. You know, he was the one who called the police, you know, and he was promoted in the mission, where all these people still, witnesses, many of them still, you know, are surviving there. So I think I went round and round the question, but I do think that this trial kind of allows a lot of things to be highlighted, you know, and for us to remember and come out in solidarity.
Yeah, definitely. And I agree with your point in the sense that I don't know if it's a phenomenon, but I think it's a learned cultural thing in the sense that how we relate to the cops. And we saw it with Raheem Brown, we saw it with Derek Jones, and we saw it with Oscar Grant, in the sense that the first thing the media did was, they're criminals and they deserved it, so let's look for their criminal background. So even before the story was told, the cops, the media already assumed, and therefore a lot of times the public assumed that these kids and adults were criminals. So I appreciate that you brought that point up. And that brings me to another point, in the sense of, I know you guys are putting some focus on the trial in the sense of as a force or as a way to challenge the impunity that we see all over the place with cops or with state agents getting impunity for their actions. Could you briefly talk about, just for our listeners so they can understand the trial, is it the EPD versus or the Martin Cotton family, or is it also the Humboldt County Sheriff, or could you just talk just briefly about, like, kind of the organization of the trial?
Yeah, the trial is, or the case is, Martin Cotton's daughter, who is now about five or six, and his father are suing, so it's a civil case. There is no criminal, you know, there is no prosecution by the state or the feds or anybody like that against the police. So the civil case is the family suing the Eureka Police Department and the Humboldt County Sheriff.
Okay.
And I don't know if that...
Yeah, no, that does. Because, I'm just wondering how... Because in the sense of, if we look at Oscar Grant, Johannes Meserle, in the sense that they put Johannes Meserle on trial for murder, and I imagine that wasn't quite a civil case, but in the sense of what you imagine the role of this case being for the efforts against, police brutality. From our point of view, it's somewhat momentous because it's really putting not only individuals, but a whole department on the stand to be held accountable for their actions. So I'm imagining that however this plays out, the fact that the EPD and the sheriff are put on stand by a family, I think that's pretty symbolic in the sense of not only a victory, but a lot of growth in the sense of the movement to hold these agencies accountable for their actions.
Yeah, it's definitely a long road to bringing a case and all that, and it is significant. And when you put it that way, it's like, it is a really big deal. It's like, you know, people who have been hurt, you know, his family's been, you know, they like other families, people who you've mentioned, you know, had somebody violently taken from them, and then to go through this arduous, you know, really kind of unfair system, but to be able to challenge the police, it is... Now, thank you for giving me that sort of perspective, because it really is kind of a big deal in that sense, you know, that it's regular people dealing with cops or suing cops that have the fraternal order of police. They got all kinds of the biggest union in the country, you know, and all kinds of monetary support and lawyers and all this stuff. And so, yeah, I guess we just push it any way that we can.
Definitely, definitely. And I imagine in being that the trial is going to happen on, or being that the case starts on Monday, September 12th, you obviously need a little bit of support. Can you just do a quick rundown of when the trial is, where it's going to be, and all that info for our listeners?
Yeah. So the trial is starting on next Monday, not tomorrow, but September 12th. It starts at 8:30 a.m. In the federal courthouse in Oakland, which is on 1301 Clay Street. And Easy Courtroom is in courtroom one. It's on the fourth floor. But we're going to get together. We'll have signs. I'd like to have big pictures of the actual officers who were involved, because, you know, they go down there and nobody knows them, but they're on the streets out here, you know, with their arms and, you know, their guns and everything. And be good for them to be recognized, you know, or at least feel like they will be. But so we're going to be Monday morning at 7:30. I know it's early, but it's a big deal. We're going to rally outside the courthouse, and I've only been there a couple times, but I know there's sort of an inner courtyard, and that sounds like where we would be. So we'll have signs. You won't be able to miss us if you go there. Signs, justice for Martin Cotton, and things like that. The cops beat Martin to death, signs like that. So 7:30 on Monday, September 12th, and then we'd really like it if people were present in the trial. I actually spoke about this yesterday on the radio too in the Bay Area, but the other trial that I went to just for a day was in Oakland, was a case against the FBI. And, it was one of the few times that the FBI had been sued by, you know, like we were saying, just by regular people. And, that was the, Earth First versus the FBI case. And the jurors, and then, the Earth Firsters prevailed. The jurors later said that it meant so much to them, it mattered to them, that there were people lined up and coming into that court dedicated every day sitting in the audience, because they knew that there was something more to it than, say, what the FBI was trying to paint as who the plaintiffs were. And, you know, and so that's always stuck with me, that it's really important, because the, you know, hopefully humans in the jury box, you know, and they can see that there's people who care, there's people who are outraged about it, and just by our presence in the courtroom, that it's a significant thing that they really have to think about, because everything else in the system gears them to side with the police. And so, you know, we have to sort of overcome that. And I think when there's a strong presence in the courtroom, that might be really helpful. So Monday the 12th, if you can get there, starts at 8:30. From what I read, it goes till 2. That's the court times for this trial. And Tuesday they skip that day. I don't know why, but every other day of the week. So it's Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. It's supposed to be about 8 days, so they'll probably go into the next week. So any time that people can come down there, be really great if folks could show up on Monday morning for the rally. But any time that people could come to the trial, we're all going to try to wear, and we'll bring some same colored T-shirts or shirts for people to wear, so that way it's very clear that we're all there in solidarity with the Cotton family and in opposition to the murder by the police. And it's kind of odd, but we came up with the color blue to wear as our shirts, even though the police are always associated, you know, in blue. But so we're going to have blue shirts. And so if somebody wants to come, if they can remember to do that, that'd be great. But
and if I know you guys, the Redwood Curtain Copwatch has a website. It's redwoodcurtaincopwatch.net. Are you guys going to be updating day by day, or kind of doing a brief summary of what was going on, or are we expecting that to come after the trial?
Well, that's a really good idea. We'll see, you know, how we're how we're, you know, energy wise, and hopefully when we're in Oakland, and I guess I'm inviting anybody who's listening, if there's some opportunity or venues or events or something where we can talk about the trial while it's going on and invite more people and just, you know, bring up what it's about, that would be, you know, we'd love to be involved in that kind of stuff. I'm not really sure if we're going to keep it updated. I suppose it when maybe we'll try to do that. It's a good idea.
Okay.
But the Cop Watch website, just as an aside, too, is we try to cover things that are happening in places outside of here as well. So people can send things to that website or read stuff that's national, international.
Cool. And then just while you're on there, I wanted to announce this on September 13th, which is the Tuesday, that it looks like there isn't going to be a trial at 7 o'clock p.m. It's the Oscar Grant Committee presents a forum on police racism, brutality, and violence. And just to real quick kind of list who's there, it looks like it's going to be a panel, but this really references to what you were saying about how do we kind of combine our efforts, how do we network, and how do we encounter each other to better strategize on not only how to, and in the way I like the way you said it, abolish the police presence, but really until we get to that point, to really hold the police accountable to their actions. So on this panel, or who's going to be at this event, is going to be Gerald Smith, who's going to give a synopsis of the Oscar Grant murder. Sean Gillis, who is the fire department, who was part of the medical response. Sharina Curley, who will discuss the frame-up of her brother, Antione Thomas and Anita Wills, on the frame-up of her son, Kerry Baxter. Lori Davis, who is the mother of Raheem Brown. Kerry Downs, the stepfather on the murder of a son, James Rivera. And then it says on the list that you will also be speaking about Martin Cotton. If folks want to come out, it's at the Nibel Proctor Marxist Library, which is 6501 Telegraph Avenue, which in Berkeley. And for any other information, or for more information, please call 510-655-5764. So with that, if you want to give any other info before we part ways just for now?
Well, I guess I could give the Rebel Curtain Cop Watch contact, and our phone number is 707-633-4493. Our email is copwatchrwc@riseup.net. copwatchrwc@riseup.net, and like you said, there's a website, redwoodcurtaincopwatch.net. If anyone, good thing to know is when you call the Copwatch website, call the Copwatch phone line, we also use it as kind of a documenting tool. So if anybody has had their own experience and hasn't been able to talk about, or is witnessing something in the moment, they can call that and pretty much talk as long as they want and sort of give a moment-by-moment report of what's happening. And that way, you know, and if the person was in Berkeley, then we can connect with folks in Berkeley, but at least there's that kind of resource there. So I hope to see a lot of people on Monday, September 12th in Oakland on Clay Street at the Federal Courthouse, and early to rally and then into the courtroom, and hope to connect with more people when I'm down there soon.
Well, great. Well, we appreciate the interview, and we'll definitely be keeping our listeners posted as to the outcome and kind of the progress on it'll either be on Indie Bay, or on our Compas website, radiozapatista.org. So thank you, Verbena, and we appreciate all the work you do, and we'll see you on Monday.
Thank you. Thanks for the opportunity to be on this show.
Definitely.
All right.
Bye-bye. All right, so again, this is Relatos Zapatista on Black Liberation Radio. And that was Verbena from Redwood Curtain Cop Watch up in Eureka, California. And she's going to be coming down for a trial, like she just said, on Monday, September 12th at 8:30. So please show up to support the Martin Cotton family in a trial or in a case against the Eureka Police Department and the Humboldt County Sheriff for the brutalizing and killing their son in the Humboldt County Jail. With that, we're going to go to musical break, and we'll be back in a second.